Hey guys, welcome back to the Motherload Show. Jackson Dunn here. I have on with me a guest, a pastor out of Troy, New York, actually Lansingburg, New York, who has been in the news recently as a subject of a little bit of controversy. A Black Lives Matter riot started outside of the Grace Baptist Church back in Troy last week, and Pastor John Kalidas is at the forefront of that church, and I want to bring him on the show today to answer some of the accusations and also to be able to give us the opposite side, the side you will not hear in the news about what's going on in Troy. Welcome, Pastor Kalidas.
Thank you very much, Jackson.
Absolutely. Great to have you on. So give me a little bit of a rundown, if you would, of what went on, just so that our listeners can have some of the history.
June 28 and June 29, our church was celebrating our 33rd year anniversary a week earlier. Our anniversary is July 1, so we did June 28 on Sunday and June 29. We gave away two free New York modified AR-15s, one on each day. And so we were having special meetings, and we gave a rifle away Sunday morning and a rifle away Monday night. And there were obviously, as you know, protests, demonstrations, and assaults outside our building.
I saw that, yeah. Actually, some of the video that came out of that was quite shocking. I don't know if that was taken by people within the church or news media on the side. What was the situation like? What did it feel like for you guys out there?
Well, obviously it was a tense situation. Most of the video that we have came from members of our church, and some of the videos that you've seen that's gone viral came from the Marxist BLM group themselves.
Understood.
That they posted online.
And was it mostly over the 2A controversy? The Second Amendment, of course, has been, you know, argued back and forth in New York for a long time. However, when I actually went to a lot of the news articles, I didn't see a lot, which is interesting to me. Coming from the Marxists talking about the Second Amendment, but rather about the doctrines of the church, which I thought was very interesting.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination. They tried to clump everything with the rifle giveaways, the Second Amendment, and plus of the preaching and teaching that our church has posted online from what we teach at our church.
Understood. And for our listeners, what are some of the basic things that you teach at the church? And then what are the things that you think the protesters were taking issue with?
Well, we teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation to heaven, and the only way you can go to heaven is by being born again and asking Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell. I mean, that's the major thrust of our church ministry. And so we're pretty strict. We're an old-fashioned church, and there's a lot of other things that we preach and teach along with the salvation message. And some of those other sermons bothered them because you know, I preach against the Marxists, the communists, the Black Lives Matters groups, and a whole slew of different organizations or heathen or pagan practices or beliefs.
And
it was
some of those
things that they hated.
And I actually had the chance to attend a service. I figured that the best way to do it would be to go to the source and actually be able to hear some of the stuff you taught. Now, I found it very interesting because a lot of the stuff should be or would be considered basic Christian doctrine, but isn't talked about a lot, and it shocks people when they don't understand what Christianity's all about. What, for you and for your church, is the problem with the Black Lives Matter and or the Marxist movement behind it that goes against a Christian belief or lifestyle?
Well, I guess the biggest problem with that, to answer your question directly, is that the leaders of the black folks in America the leadership has ruined, I believe, the vast majority of black families and culture in the last 40 to 50 years. And because of the leaders that are a bunch of lying cowards and hypocrites, who do not believe the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, do not believe in the new birth, do not believe that the Word of God is inspired, do not believe the creation story. When you lump all those things with these heathen, pagan, black leaders, and you've replaced the earlier black leaders that brought them out of slavery in the late 1800s, the early 1900s, a lot of the ministers, not just the black leaders, but even many of the white Protestant and white Baptist preachers who fought for their liberty and fought for their freedom. These are people that really had one of the greatest revival stories that were untold in American history. And so you had these millions of black folks that were freed from slavery, and they, what happened about 40, 50 years ago, they supplanted godly black leaders, ministers, and preachers with these evil Marxists and communists who hated God and hated the Bible. And so you see the result now in the black community. And I hate to lump them all together because obviously there's exceptions, but for the vast majority, when you see the inner cities, the black communities, how run down they are, their families are broken apart, it's mostly as a result of the black ministers who have refused to preach truth and holiness and righteousness behind the pulpit to their own communities.
That's very interesting that you pin the problem as a primarily religious problem rather than what some people do, which is politics. Politics is, of course, downstream, as they say, from culture. What would you say, because of the loss of a biblical culture, in your opinion, what are the policy issues that have come out of that that have kept generations in poverty over time?
Well, when you replace the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, with social programs, you give incentives to, and it's not just black folks, it's white folks and all kinds of other races or nationalities or ethnicities. You put a carrot stick out there, an incentive for people to not be responsible. And so you have broken homes, fatherless homes. They go to drink. And this is not just for black people. We live, our church is in a inner city, Democrat-run, welfare-type city. And this affects everybody that's on the lower scale of society on the welfare rungs. So it's just not black or poverty people. It's just people that have been incentivized to go for social programs and government programs and have replaced the fathers in the home, because a woman now will say, well, I don't need a man. The government's going to give me welfare and food stamps and apartment and free food and free health care and free furniture. And I don't need a man to tell me what to do. I don't need a man to provide for me. And so what happens is a lot of men aren't in the home. They're not in the household. And so that has affected the homes, and you have ministers that are afraid to preach the truth because they don't want people to leave their churches. And that's happened to our church, because look, we've had people that are upset with some of my preaching and they don't like it, or they get upset, they come back 3 months later or 6 months later. And that's the nature of the beast that we have in Troy, New York.
Absolutely. And I think we are seeing the same pattern repeated in many other cities across the United States. I know in Rochester as well, if we're just staying within the upstate New York communities, there have also been very similar types of protests. Have you noticed a positive response from the city officials when these issues were brought to their attention?
Absolutely none.
I'm not surprised, actually. I was actually reading, and maybe you'd be able to confirm this for me. Kevin McCashin, he's actually one of your parishioners, from what I understand, is also a radio host, and he actually spoke about the fact that a person, he will remain unnamed on the program, was actually in the employ of the city and was running or was certainly a part of this riot that went on outside of your church.
That's correct. He was like, I guess, the main instigator, the leader, whatever you want to call him, the ringleader there, who got, you know, these savages riled up, chanting, demonstrating, that finally led to an assault on a few of the church members. They blocked the entrance to our church. It got to the point where when folks were coming to our church on June 28th, Sunday morning, coming to church, that the Troy Police Department told some of our church members that it may not be a good time to come to church today, or not a good day. And so we had people that were coming to church that were turned away because they saw the chanting, they saw the demonstration, they saw the melee. And instead of the Troy PD trying to help people come to church and making a way, a pathway for them to come freely to church, they discourage people from coming to church. And that really bothers me quite a bit.
There was no repercussion to any of the assaultees. And some of the stuff we saw on video. Now, I have a hard time, of course, always believing video, because obviously video is very, very easy to either fake or take out of context. And so I wouldn't want our listeners to go and look at video and draw a conclusion without more facts and evidence. Were any of the people involved in the assaults or alleged assaults either arrested or detained or in any way given repercussions for their actions?
Not yet, but I believe it is ongoing right now.
Understood.
And I think there may be charges soon. And let me say this about the videos. And you're right about how the media can cut and paste certain things to make it, you know, look different than what it was. But in most of these cases, the videos are a good 3, 5, or 10, or 15 minutes long. So you get a good perception of what happened beforehand, and even during the melee and even during the chanting. So it's not like it's only a 5 or 10 second or a 15, 30 second clip. It's a good 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes long. So you get to see almost the full view of what happened before and during the fighting, the melee, the confrontation there.
And I would encourage our listeners to go and actually look at some of that video and also some of the analysis other people have done, because I understand that you've done some other interviews as well.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
But I wanted to actually get to some of the stuff that you teach, which was very interesting to me and on a personal level. My show, if you've been listening for a while out there, you know that I like to go into the religious side of culture. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the doctrines which I read either online or I heard in the service. So one of the things that you talk about, and this is actually coming from your website, which is gbctroynewyork.com, is that you specifically talk about the Word of God is the Bible, and specifically a version of the Bible, the King James Version. For listeners who aren't familiar with versions, can you explain the reason why this one is the Word of God?
That's one of the best questions I've ever been asked, and probably one of the most important questions I've ever been asked. In 1901, when the King James Bible was the only version for the previous 200 to 300 years that English-speaking people were using, 1901 was the watershed moment when the revised version came along. So for 200 to 300 years prior to that, the vast from 1611 to 1901, so almost 300 years, you had the English-speaking people using a King James Bible that came from the original Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic tongues. It came from Syria. The King James Bible is the only book that ever brought revival everywhere it was preached and taught. If you look for those 300 years, you'll see wherever the Word of God, the King James Bible, was preached and taught, it brought revival. It was the bedrock for England, the bedrock for America, and God blessed England and God blessed America as long as America and England adhered to the King James Bible. When England and America turned their back on the King James Bible, God turned his back on America. And so what you have today is you have a bunch of perversions that are written by men that came from people that did not believe in the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, Westcott and Hort, and other Protestant theologians who changed the words of the King James Bible and came up with their own modern translations or perversions. And that's why when the people who use modern perversions, modern translations, there's no power, there's no conviction, there's no courage, they're mostly spineless cowards, and they're traitors, and you don't see them standing for truth, and they're always acquiescing to the enemy. They're always bowing their knees to the enemy. They're not willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ, and they're sure not willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. But wherever you see the King James Bible boldly proclaim, most of the times those people have more courage or more concerned about souls being saved. They're more concerned about what God says in the Word of God. And there may be some varying differences in those kind of churches, but for the most part, They love God, they love the Word of God, they love souls, and they try to reach souls as much as they possibly can. Where you do not see that in the quote-unquote evangelical churches that use a non-King James Bible and do not believe a King James Bible.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in this. I'm a Messianic Jew, for those who listen into the program. So I have always gone back to the original Hebrew to read. And also, I'm familiar with the 1633 Geneva Bible, which is actually the one that some of the pilgrims brought over to America. In this case, would you say that it's basically the same as the King James, or do they have specific differences that you've seen, or have you actually even compared them side by side?
Yes, sir. These are great questions, brother. Let me say this. There are two strains. There are two strands of manuscripts. The Bible says that the believers were first called Christians in Antioch, which was in Syria. So the King James Bible and all its predecessors, including the Geneva Bible, the Great Bible, and the others that were before the King James, there were six of them, the King James being the seventh English translation, there, Tyndale's Bible, they all came from the Syrian manuscripts from Antioch, Syria, where the disciples were first called Christians. The other manuscript, where every single other perversion comes from Egypt, from Alexandria, Egypt, where the pagans and the heathens had their libraries in Alexandria that was founded for Alexander the Great. And that's where you get your Catholic manuscripts from. And every single perversion, every other manuscript outside the King James Bible come from Alexandria. And so when you have two different strands of those manuscripts, you're going to get two different translations. And that's why you have so much of a big difference between the King James Bible and every other modern translation, even the New King James. It's not a King James Bible. It's a perversion because they go by the Alexandrian manuscripts.
That's actually fascinating. Yeah. Continue.
And so you had, and I can't remember, was it Tyndale's the first one? I don't have it in front of me right now, but there were six English translations before the King James 1611 came out. And so you had those six that came from the exact same manuscripts from Syria. And there were some minor differences, but it was like, and I've taught this, it's online in my sermons on our website. It's like a body that grows. And once the body grew to 1611, it's like a person that is a babe, a child. You become a toddler, you become a teenager, then you become an adult. The same body was growing, and the Word of God, just look at history itself, will show you that once 1611 came along, evangelism went through the roof just about everywhere. It doesn't mean that the other English translations before that didn't, because Martin Luther had a revival in Germany because he used the exact same, even though it was German, he used the exact same foundational manuscripts that came from Syria that the King James Bible was translated from. So you had these other, in French and in German, you had these people that had that they had the Bible in their own language, but they all came from the same manuscript evidence that came from Syria, not from Alexandria, Egypt.
As you know, a biblical scholar and someone who's gone and studied the Dead Sea Scrolls at one point, I think that this is very interesting. And yes, you see sometimes with these translations where things are changed, and it makes it very difficult, of course, as a Christian to always get the Word of God when there are indeed, like you said, differences and or perversions.
I believe the biggest downfall for America, and the biggest burden, responsibility, onus, whatever word you want to use, was on the theologians and scholars who replaced the King James Bible with other modern perversions. And it was a very slow change in 1901. But over the last 120 years, you've seen the results of what a watered down perver- You wouldn't wash your clothes with muddy water or dirty water in a washing machine. So why would you want to wash your soul with dirty water, spiritual water? That's why people are not separated from the world. That's why people don't live clean lives. That's why they are intermingling with the world. And that's why they do not separate unto God and live holy, separated lives the way God wants them to, because they're reading, drinking spiritually muddied, dirty spiritual water that they can never get cleaned with.
Fascinating. And we're up against a break, but I want to thank you so much, Pastor Kalidas, for coming on with us. Coming up after the break, we're actually going to talk about a little bit of the history of the Bible. I think that this has really opened a can of worms, which I think would be awesome to share with you guys. Thank you very much, Pastor Kalidas. God bless you guys. God bless your church. Be safe
out there. Jackson, thank you very much. Thank you very much, and God bless you, sir.